I just want to know who's ready to battle. Uh-oh, I think I'm running out of ammo. Woo! Woo! I still got ammo. I think I'm done. You still got some, Drew? Shoot 'em up, buddy. I think I'm out. We'll have fun cleaning up afterwards. Was that fun, Drew?
Yeah.
You want to do that every week?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, today is about spiritual battle. If only it was easy as a Nerf war. Soft bullets don't really hurt anyone. A battle that is simple as reloading and going again and again. But spiritual battle isn't that easy. In one way or another, whether you realize it or not, you are in a spiritual battle. Some of you may be actively battling the spiritual forces of the world. Maybe you are achieving some victories and losing others. And just like real war, there's a risk of potentially taking some devastating losses along the way. Others have gone into battle unprepared and have been captured by the enemy. Some have been captured so long that they don't even realize they're not even in the battle anymore. Still others have never joined the fight and don't even realize what side that they are on. We're now in our final week of our study in the book of Ephesians. And it is fitting that the first week we started with Jesus as our cornerstone and we end by talking about spiritual battle. The whole bit about building the church on the foundation of Jesus, everything about being a praise and prayer-focused churches, a church focused on salvation through Christ, a church that maintains unity and equips its members for service, a church that encourages us to live the lifestyles of holy living as individuals, as families, and even when we go to work in the world. All of this, everything that we have learned so far in Ephesians, is to prepare us and to get us ready to engage in spiritual battle. Let us start with some of our passage from Ephesians chapter 6. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." Do you really understand this passage? We are often so caught up in our daily lives that we forget we are in a spiritual battle. Our physical world consumes us so much that we fail to see and acknowledge that there is a whole spiritual realm around us. Do you ever stop to think about that? All around us, whether we realize it or not, is a spiritual realm of good and evil. I like to use this example. We used it in our Revelation studies. Right now, in our midst, are hundreds, if not thousands, of radio, TV, and cellular waves crossing through this building. You can't see them, can you? You don't know they're there until you have a device or something to tune into it, right? You have to be able to tune in to be able to hear those radio waves, to hear that cellular transmission. You have to be able to tune in to know that it's even there or to know that it's going on. And most of us get consumed with our physical lives that we forget that there's a spiritual world, a real spiritual realm out there. And that our life is really a spiritual battlefield. A real good versus evil battle. God versus Satan. We are in a spiritual battle for souls. Jesus said to go make disciples of the world. Now, how do we do that? Well, we create opportunities for people to give their lives to Jesus Christ by presenting them with the truth, with the gospel, by standing and fighting for what is right, by standing for God's goodness and His love and His grace and His mercy. But you see, we're not after their physical body, are we? We're not after somebody's physical body. That goes to the grave. That goes to cremation. That goes to donation. Whatever it is. We don't want their physical body. We're after their souls, aren't we? And how are we really doing in this battle? If you look at church attendance across the country, if you look at the statistics of people who claim to be Christians, the numbers just keep dropping every year. It is easy to see that we are losing this battle for souls. And the number one reason that we are losing this battle is because most of us are unprepared for a battle or refuse to even engage in battle. And let me tell you, I've been in some serious battle the last couple of months. Satan has attacked me so hard and in so many ways that I have some serious dents in my armor. I have bruises and wounds that I am nursing even today. But see, the good news is, it's because I have God's armor, Satan can't win. I fought back and I'm stronger because of it. You see, understanding the spiritual realm is a difficult thing. I cannot say with any complete authority that I fully understand it. But any lack of my ability to teach you or express it to you does not change the fact that we coexist in our bodies both as a physical and spiritual being. We are a unique creation of God. And as long as we maintain this physical form, we coexist and are codependent with our spiritual being. Now, for some people, talking about the spiritual realm is not a comfortable subject. But there is a realm of spirits, both good and evil, that also exist with us. And some of this we claim to acknowledge. We have the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But we have angels and we have demons. The demons are controlled by Satan. Satan has been at work since the fall of man to separate us from God, to keep us from being in full relationship with God. And part of our free will is the battle between choosing good over evil, choosing God over Satan. Part of our battle is leading others to the choice of God over evil. And just as we read in these scriptures, Paul says, our battle isn't against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil. People, this stuff is real. Some of what we know about Satan is written in Isaiah and Ezekiel. We know that he was potentially the highest ranking of all angels, the original archangel, even over Michael. We know that in his rebellion, he took fallen angels with him, that now operate as demonic forces among us. We see many encounters with both Satan, demons, and angels in both the Old and New Testament. We know how Satan operated as a snake in the garden. Most of us know the story of Job and how Satan destroyed Job's family and even Job's health. There's the story of Elisha, who was engaged as a major underdog in a real-world physical battle, and suddenly a heavenly army appeared behind him, and they defeated the Syrian army. In Samuel, the book of Samuel, we see that Satan worked to move David's heart to go against the will of God. Moving forward to the New Testament, at the Christmas story, we see how angels appear to Zechariah, to Mary, and to Joseph. We read about the heavenly hosts who appeared to proclaim the birth of Jesus Christ. We read on that an angel again appears to Joseph and warns them to escape to Egypt. We know that God's Spirit and His voice are present at the baptism of Jesus. We read that Jesus was tempted by Satan in the desert. And over Jesus' life, He cast out many demons. Jesus goes to the mountain and is transfigured before Peter, James, and John. And they not only see the fullness of Christ, but they see the spirits of Moses and Elijah, as well as hearing the voice of God in a cloud. When Jesus rose from the grave, angels were sitting in the tomb talking with Mary. You see, the evidence of a spiritual realm is all over the Bible. We have God, we have His angels, we have Satan and his demons. Why would we assume today that we do not live in a spiritual realm and fight spiritual battles? We don't like to think about that, do we? We think that angels, demons, and spirits, those kinds of talks are reserved for ghost stories, reserved for Halloween, reserved for fictional books and movies. We think sorcery and witchcraft are harmless Harry Potter stories. But in reality, Satan is alive and well in this world. And he wants you to believe in these falsehoods. He wants you to think that it's all fictional. He wants you to think that it's all fantasy. And it's easy to fall for Satan's lies. It's easy to get caught up in things because we have a sinful nature and because of our cravings of our physical flesh. Earlier in our studies of Ephesians, Paul wrote this in chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work and those who were disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. You see, our first battle is the battle within ourselves. Our number one battle is our own sinful nature. We want to gratify the cravings of our flesh. We want sin because sin is enticing. Sin is fun. Some of you grew up in the era of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, baby, right? Some of you had a lot of fun in the 70s. Some of you lived by carpe diem. Some say live like there is no tomorrow. Some of you go around and say, I deserve it, I earned it, I want it, it feels right, it feels natural. Some proclaim that, well, if it's love, how can it be wrong? And of course, we all know what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, right? We believe the lies that Satan tells us. Lies that it's only a little flirting, what can it hurt? Lies that say they're only pictures on the internet, who could be hurt? We believe the lies. We believe that it's my money, that I earned it, I can do what I want with it. And the more we try to resist the lies, the more Satan will bring pressure from the outside. And we see it today all over our radios, TVs, in the movies we watch, all over the internet. It's all full of Satan's handiwork and lies. We have governments near and far full of Satan's handiwork. Satan will use the people closest to us. Satan attacked Jesus directly, but he also challenged him with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Satan even challenged Jesus through Peter. Do you remember that scene when Jesus says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan"? And of course, Satan used one of Jesus' own disciples to betray him. Have I given you enough examples? Do you understand that we are in a real spiritual battle? And if your heart does not belong to Jesus, then you're automatically on the other side of evil. And some of you are going, "What? I don't care how nice, how good, or how spiritual a person claims to be. If they are not a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ, if they are not marked as one of God's sheep, then they belong to Satan." Look back at this verse from Ephesians 2. If you are not following Christ, then the alternative is this: you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. In other words, before you knew Christ, you are a follower of Satan. You are either an obedient servant of God, or you are disobedient and you are serving the other side. There is no neutral ground. Real faith in Christ saves us from this life. And if you have been saved, you should be engaged in spiritual battle. A battle to keep yourself from returning to your sinful nature. A battle against Satan for the souls of the world. A battle to keep Satan from stopping works of love. Satan loved the news this week because it's creating chaos and animosity among Christians who are pitting themselves against each other. We're consumed with the things of this world. We have to ask ourselves, are we engaged in battle, or are we surrendering to the ways of this world? And some Christians are easy prey. They fall easily for false doctrine that's being preached in our churches every single Sunday. And why are so many Christians easy prey? Because they are completely unprepared to do battle. See, when we go fight on our own power, on our own knowledge, on our own strength, we fall flat on our faces. So when we go back to the scriptures, verse 11 says, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes." Verse 13, he says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground." Notice that important word. Not if the day of evil comes, but when the day of evil comes. It's very important for us to understand we are in a real battle. And we need the whole armor of God. And what is that armor? I'm sure we've all heard this passage over and over again, but we'll cover it. Verse 14 says, "Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." The belt of truth. What is the belt of truth? The truth of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our cornerstone. The belt on the Roman uniform this armor he's describing is based on a Roman uniform. And the belt was the key piece that kept the whole uniform together. And what keeps us together is the truth of Jesus Christ. It's what brings all of this together. We have to start with the truth of Jesus Christ. Then Paul says, "With the breastplate
of righteousness in place. Righteousness. This means part of our defense is our holy living. That means it's our desire to become more Christ-like. Holy living in our lives, holy living at home, holy living at work. When we try to walk in the ways of Jesus Christ, we protect ourselves. In verse 15 it says, "And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." Readiness. That's our desire to answer His call. Our readiness to serve, saying, "God, here I am. I'm ready for battle. Send me in. I'm ready to go." And verse 16 says, "In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." Your faith is a powerful thing. And we need to stand behind our faith. Have you ever seen Roman soldiers go into battle with their shields? They would stand behind their shields. They would cover each other up with their shields. Their faith protected them. Their shields protected them. And when our faith interlocks like the Roman soldiers would interlock their shields, together we become stronger because we're locked together through our faith. The Bible says if we even had the faith of a mustard seed, we could move mountains. If we have faith, God promises He will answer us. If we are solid in our faith, then Satan cannot shake our foundation. We'll be remain standing, won't we, Tim? See, I was listening last week. We're built upon the rock, and we have a solid foundation in our faith. But see, some of us are like the story of the three little pigs. And our faith is as weak as straw or sticks. And Satan's flaming arrows come and will just burn it to the ground. But if your faith is as strong as the brick wall, then Satan's flaming arrows will be extinguished. And verse 17, it says, take the helmet of salvation. See, a helmet for the Romans was a key piece in their armor. It was not only for defense, it was for identity. Because without their helmet, who could you tell who was who on the battlefield? See, without salvation, we do not belong in God's army. Without salvation, we don't get issued the other parts of God's armor. When we put on God's helmet of salvation, we are choosing to follow Him. We are choosing to be in His army, to follow His orders, His direction. And not only are we following God, it means we are part of a greater army of followers, which means we have the same helmet as other Christians. We are all children of God as followers of Christ. And when we come together under that unity with other brothers and sisters in Christ, not only does it provide a good defense, but it makes for a better offense too. It makes it easier to win people to Christ when we are working together in the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul writes over and over again, you need unity. You need to come together with the understanding that everything revolves around Jesus Christ. When you get that right and you go together, you become stronger and more powerful. And continuing on in our scriptures, it says we should also have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword is both a defensive and an offensive weapon. See, there's power in God's Word. But we must be careful and how we wield this power. Because if we use it incorrectly, we can cut people down rather than bring them to Christ. In the story of the temptation in the desert, Jesus used Scripture to defeat Satan for 40 days. The Scripture says He was tempted in every way.
But he kept rebuking Satan by quoting God's word. Now, if you do not study the word, if you do not know the word, what kind of sword, if any, will you have? Because the truth is, Satan fears God's word. Oh, Satan is good at misusing and distorting God's word. He did it to Adam and Eve. Now, did God really say that? He wants us to stumble. He wants us to argue about the silliest, stupidest things. He wants us to get caught up in things with each other and arguing about things rather than going out and serving. But you see, we argue over things we're ignorant of. We argue over things because we do not know God through His Word and the very truth in His Word. We need to be firmly founded on Jesus and the teachings of the apostle. And that's why I keep encouraging you, come to Sunday school, come to Sunday school, come to Sunday school. But Sunday school and my sermons are not enough. You, on your own, need to have an in-depth study of God's Word. You need a daily discipline of reading God's Word. You need to read it, learn it, love it, and use it. And finally, in verse 18 and 19, it says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying. Keep on praying for all the Lord's people." And Paul goes on to say, "Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." Paul says, pray, 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 and pray some more. And when you think you are done praying, pray again. Pray for everything and everyone. Pray for me as your pastor. Pray for each other as we go out into this world and into ministry. Pray for each other because life is hard. Pray, pray, and pray some more. When we look back at our whole 9-week journey through Ephesians, we got to be able to say, what have we been doing? And we have to say that with Christ and His teachings as our foundation, that we as a church are to be thoroughly equipped and ready to take on spiritual battles. Battles in our individual lives and battles in our collective lives as God's people. We like to use the word politics. There's a lot of politics in church. I don't like the politics in church. I don't like the politics of the government. I don't like the politics of this. Well, let me tell you something. It's way more than politics. It is a true spiritual battle. Now, in the beginning of the service, we had our little Nerf battle here. Only a few of us were equipped and engaged in the battle, weren't we? But were you really neutral? You were in the crossfire, weren't you? Some of you may have gotten hit. But you see, most churchgoers are not joining the battle. They're sitting idle. They're watching others fight it. And they're getting dealt blows they don't even know are spiritual blows. Let me be very, very clear. There is no neutral side. You are either engaged in battle for God, or you sit or stand against God. Those are the only two sides. And if you're not battling for God, then you're weakening God. You're leading people away from God. By not engaging, by being apathetic, by doing nothing, by not getting involved, by not being part of missions, by not being part of leading, teaching, growing, doing, then you're letting Satan win. Because every time we don't do something, Satan gains another foothold, and Satan gains another foothold, and Satan gains another foothold. And if we were out winning people for Christ, we wouldn't care what the Supreme Court decided. We wouldn't care what laws our communities made or didn't make. Because think about this, if people were truly being transformed by the love of Jesus Christ and were turning away from sin in their hearts, do we need another law against anything? If we were out loving these young children in our communities and embracing them and sharing them the hope and the love of Jesus Christ, would we have 11-year-olds committing suicide? Would you have young people running into schools shooting people up? Satan loves that we're having all these arguments and we are pitted against each other and fighting against each other and spitting at each other and yelling at each other and screaming at each other. Can anybody tell me one problem that's honestly been solved with that? Until you change this, we've got nothing. And if we were going out with the heart and the love of Jesus Christ into this battle, and we were grabbing people up off the battlefield and saying, God loves you. God has a plan for you. God can transform you. God can change you. Then we wouldn't need any of these other laws. You can't legislate somebody's heart. I'm sorry. There's things about what's going on is breaking my heart. For some people, it's victorious. For some people, it's decimating, and it breaks my heart to watch it. But to me, it's a failure of the church. It's a failure of God's people to engage in battle, to stand up for what's right, to stand for God's love, to stand for God's virtues, to stand for holy living, for righteous living, for living according to God's standards and not the world's standards. Because what has that gotten us? Nothing but division and hatred. People, it's time we make that choice. It's time we say we are going to be a different kind of church. Not because we got different music, not because we got different something else, because we live it. Because we are engaged spiritually. Because we just don't pray because I need something. We pray because we believe God can deliver. We believe that we serve in a powerful God. We believe that Satan is real and that his demonic forces are working on people. Do you think all the demons just disappeared when Jesus died? You don't think people are demon-possessed today? You don't think there's works of evil, real evil going on in this world? Now you need to do a gut check. You need to do a heart check. A mind check. The evidence is all before us. And we have the answer to win through Jesus Christ. The question is, are you ready to put on the armor and go out for God? Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we have sat by way too long. Lord, we're not to go out to beat people. We're going out to win people through love, through grace, through your truth, through your righteousness. Because we know in all things that Satan cannot overcome your word. He cannot overcome your truth. And Satan cannot undo what your son Jesus Christ did on the cross. Lord, let us first look to how we need to re-engage, to re-equip, to re-evaluate how we stand and live for you. And Lord, through our faith, allow us to unify together in this great battle for souls. Lord, let us not waste another day in our efforts to serve and love people the way you have called us to live. Lord, let us truly be soldiers of the cross. Let us do everything with the same grace, same love, same mercy, compassion that your Son, Jesus Christ, gave to us. Let us be willing and loving and forgiving people. This we ask and pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, these are fun, but real life isn't always fun, is it? It's not fun to think about the horrors that goes on in our world. It's not fun to think of the losses of life, too many tragedies. We think of all the ills of this world, and it's easy to sit down, turn the TV off, and just shake our head, isn't it? But that's not the kind of people God has called us to be. We are people that are supposed to be equipped to go and fight. What was Superman's thing? Truth, justice, and the American way? We need truth, justice, and God's way. Let us find ways to go out and engage in real, holy, loving warfare. Not man's way, but God's way. Let us choose to be a different kind of church. Let us be active. Let us be engaging. And let us be loving. And I promise you, when we get it right, God will answer in a big way. Let us go now as servants and soldiers of Christ. Let us go equipped with the armor of God, ready to serve His will. Go now in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit and attain His victory. Amen.